connected by purpose, driven by passion. This is Children's Healthcare Canada's Spark Conversations podcast series.
Welcome to Spark Conversations, which is Children's Healthcare Canada's monthly podcast series. At the crossroads of children's healthcare, system improvement, and leadership, Spark Conversations is a solution-focused podcast that connects the child and youth health community with system leaders who tackle wicked problems and discuss ideas to inform the development of innovative and integrated systems serving children and youth. Spark Conversations is one component of our Spark Knowledge Mobilization Program. Spark is the shared platform for advocacy, research, and knowledge. I'm Dr. Catherine Smart, and today I'm delighted to be speaking with Dr. Jason Berman. Dr. Berman is the CEO and Scientific Director of the CHEO Research Institute and the Vice President Research at CHEO. He is also a full professor in the Department of Pediatrics and Cellular and Molecular Medicine at the University of Ottawa. Previously, he served as Associate Chair of Research, Department of Pediatrics, and Professor of Pediatrics, Microbiology and Immunology and Pathology at Dalhousie University. Interim Vice President, Research, Innovation, and Knowledge Translation for the IWK Health Center in Halifax, Nova Scotia. He is a pediatric hematologist-oncologist and internationally recognized for pioneering research using zebrafish to study childhood cancers and rare inherited diseases. His laboratory has served as the Atlantic node of the Center for Drug Research and Development and a national hub for zebrafish modeling of orphan diseases. He has served as president of the Canadian Society for Clinical Investigation, president of the Canadian Hematology Society, and is a founding member of the Canadian Rare Disease Models and Mechanisms Network. He has served as president of the Canadian Society for Clinical Investigation, president of the Canadian Hematology Society, and is a founding member of the Canadian Rare Disease Models and Mechanisms Network. He is currently chair of the board of directors of the National Maternal, Infant, Child, and Youth Research Network and a member of the board of the Ontario Institute of Cancer Research and the Canadian Institutes of Health Research Institute of Cancer Research. Today, we are chatting about an extremely important topic, child health research. Hello, Jason, and welcome to Spark Conversations.
Hi, Catherine. Thanks for having me here.
The recent healthcare crisis in pediatrics has really shown us the importance of fostering innovation and research partnerships and working across sectors to bring much-needed innovative change to the healthcare system. Now more than ever, we need to form partnerships and find creative solutions to close the gaps in Canadian healthcare systems through catalyzing innovation and bringing together healthcare leaders and researchers to address healthcare challenges in new ways and to start thinking outside the box. Thank you for joining us today to provide some valuable expert advice, and I look forward to learning from you and the work that you've done.
Thank you.
Jason, please tell us, what do you see as the role of research in helping us address the challenges in our children's health system facing us currently?
So, you know, health research is really part of the solution to the current healthcare crisis, and it's really vital to protecting and ensuring the long-term viability of our healthcare system. And I think generally people tend to think of healthcare in one box and research in another box. And, you know, that's not surprising because often they occur in different buildings, in different settings. But in many places, like at CHEO and many other children's hospitals, most of our researchers are actually clinicians themselves. And much of the healthcare research that happens in Canada happens in hospital-based research institutes. And so the fundamental science that occurs in those research institutes can drive discoveries that ultimately will save lives and enhance the quality of life. Clinical research that's undertaken will benefit those patients in located in that center and beyond. And population and health services research is really important to understand the needs more broadly of Canada's population and evaluate how we can organize and operate our health systems in a more effective way.
So Jason, it's wonderful to see someone like yourself that has a focus on children. I think throughout the pandemic, we saw so much talk about adults and adult health. And I think often those of us who work with children wonder if they're a bit of a forgotten population. Can you tell us why research around the health of children is so important?
Yeah, so this is a great question. And, you know, one thing I think that was really highlighted by the pandemic was that children are a bit of a forgotten population. And actually, it's not just children. In fact, we saw this effect earlier in the pandemic on the elderly and people in long-term care homes. There tends to be a focus in the healthcare system, both on healthcare delivery and often in research on the, you know, the general population, adults, and we tend to forget about kids who really are our future. And kids' health is really important. We know that in terms of looking at the life trajectory, you know, giving kids a healthy start ensures that they're going to be healthy through adulthood and be less of a burden on the healthcare system because they're living healthier lives. And so, you know, child health research provides us the opportunity to look in many ways at prevention of diseases and early implementation of systems to avoid problems later on. And so thinking of that whole healthcare trajectory, I think is really important. And bringing innovative solutions to that. So again, thinking of those two populations, children and older adults, we've instituted a program together with one of our sister research institutes in Ottawa, the Bruyere Research Institute, to look at this program called 8 to 80, where we're looking at how do we bring innovative solutions to help with healthcare problems at both ends of the age spectrum, kids 8 days to adults 80 years of age, who may seem on the surface to be very different in terms of their needs and challenges, but actually when you think about things like mobility, hearing, vision, many of those types of things are similar challenges in children and youth. And in fact, one of our surgeons and research entrepreneurs here, Dr. Matt Bromwich, developed a hearing testing system called Shoebox. He's based at CHEO, developed the system here, and now it's being implemented at Bruyere.
Wow, Jason, I find that so interesting how you've been able to find some parallels between children's and older adults and finding synergies between what we're trying to understand about kids in our society and our elders. That's a really interesting perspective. In a recent op-ed published by the Ottawa Business Journal, you spoke about the importance of research innovation and cross-industry collaborations in tackling today's healthcare crisis. Can you tell us a bit more about this work?
Yeah, so thank you for referencing that. And you mentioned in your opening comments around outside of the box thinking. You know, I think there are these silos that exist between clinical folks, research folks, the business community, industrial partners. We need to break down those silos and bring people together. And that's really what we've been trying to do with our innovation core that we've developed here at the CHEO Research Institute. It's really serving as a missing link in the co-development of products by early stage companies that want to collaborate with late stage researchers. And in some cases, the innovation is coming from the researcher, the clinician themselves, and looking at how do we partner with industry to take that to the public. And in other cases, it may be a company that's on the outside of CHEO that's looking to partner with the clinical and research expertise housed here to have access to a particular patient population and expertise in particular disease processes so that we can work together to solve problems. And it's looking at how do we do that? How do we bring people together to do that? In the past, there was a real sense that if you wanted to do that type of innovative work, if you wanted to start a company, if you wanted to work with a company, you needed to leave academia. And so many of those really bright minds that we had in hospitals, in academic programs, who had these innovative thoughts and innovative plans, felt the need to leave and go to do their industry work outside of the healthcare center. We're now trying to bring that in-house, trying to break down those silos, bring people together so we can address those problems in the healthcare center.
I love how you're talking about breaking down silos and thinking outside of the box. I think so often our reluctance to do that has led to some of the challenges that we have. So it's great to see that you guys have been able, through your research and innovation, to really bring together those private-public partnerships and look at how we can all create a better future of health for children together. The CHEO Research established a new innovation core in 2021. Can you speak more about this innovation core and what the goals are of this initiative?
Yeah, so, you know, the Innovation Core really is the hub that undertakes this work, bringing together members of the business community, the hospital community, the academic community, creating a structure that really is incubated within the hospital and the research institute to undertake these types of innovation projects. Looking at what are the needs of the healthcare system and how can we bring people together to try to solve those problems. Clinicians, researchers, they're good problem solvers. That's what we're trained to do. You identify a clinical problem, you identify a research problem. How do you troubleshoot that? How do you come up with a solution? But we're not necessarily trained very well in the business aspects of that. And that's where bringing in those kinds of partnerships can really foster a collaboration that can have meaningful results.
I love how you highlight the ability to bring what you're seeing clinically to the research table and really try to come up with practical solutions that make a difference in the lives of children every day. Jason, tell us a bit about how the world of research is evolving to keep pace with new developments in artificial intelligence, precision health, and data reform.
Yeah, so there have been a number of opportunities that have come forward in a number of different programs. One of our researchers, who is a Canada Research Chair in Medical Artificial Intelligence, Dr. Khaled Al-Imam, he's a member of our core, and he's an expert in using synthetic data to be able to answer key questions. And the concept of synthetic data in simple terms, and it's not my expertise, is how do you create a data set that resembles a real life data set so that you can answer questions when the real life data set may be hard to access or you may not be able to get sufficient numbers. And that's often a problem in child health where we're dealing with rare genetic disorders or rare conditions that only occur in a small subset of the population. And to get sufficient numbers of those patients participating, you would have to do studies, national studies or even international studies. And while those are feasible, potentially, they take a very long time and they can be cost prohibitive. And so the idea of creating a synthetic data set to try to answer some of those questions has a lot of value and can then demonstrate really how to fine-tune that study so that ultimately when you then want to bring in real patients, you know the exact questions to ask. And so, you know, I think that's an example of how artificial intelligence is really being used practically to answer those types of questions. We also, CHEO is the home to a number of provincial registries in Ontario, the Born Registry, which tracks all every live birth that happens in Ontario, whether it's in hospital or outside hospital, NSO, Newborn Screening Ontario, that tracks every that tracks the blood spots that are done on every birth in Ontario. These are very rich databases of information that we can then use to be able to answer really critical questions. And as an example of that, recently one of our scientists, Dr. Deshane Fell, identified using the Born database key safety data around COVID vaccine safety in pregnancy. And so this was really important. Not only did it lead to, you know, a very impactful report, but it also is going to have life-changing implications in terms of how clinicians, not just across Ontario, but across Canada and around the world, approach COVID vaccination in pregnancy. And so that's really the power of having those kinds of data sets to be able to answer key questions.
Wow, it's really fascinating to hear about the work that you're doing and how you're leveraging things like data to really deeply understand some of the challenges that are facing us right now. So Jason, this innovation course sounds really fascinating to me. I would love to hear a bit more about some examples of what kind of collaborations and work have come from those partnerships.
Yeah, so I've mentioned a bit around artificial intelligence. I think that can be a bit of a scary term for some people. It seems a little bit foreign, but you know, if we think about when people talked about smartphones and computers a number of years ago when those first were introduced, I think those were intimidating and overwhelming to many people. And now it's hard to think of anyone getting through their day, no matter what they do, without using a smartphone or a computer interface. And so AI, I really see that as the next step in this evolution. It's helping us work together and work better to answer key questions. It it, I think, has a major opportunity to help us with the health human resources issue, where we need, you know, where we're struggling to find enough people to undertake many of these roles. Are there AI solutions that can help streamline so that we don't need as many personnel in certain roles? So that we can, for example, predict through using AI analytics the number of patients likely to come to an emergency room or be admitted to a floor, so we can better predict nursing allocations to those shifts. I think those things are going to be very, very helpful. Can AI help a pathologist or a radiologist better identify diagnoses? And so if that can help them streamline that process, again, not replacing that medical expertise, but facilitating and helping that, can they get through more cases so that diagnoses can be made more quickly and that information can be fed back to the clinician to impact that patient? You spoke about precision health. And, you know, precision health, I think, is really the future of children's healthcare. And this is this idea, precision, of having a more tailored approach to treatment, not having a one size fits all. And I really like using that word tailored, because it calls up the analogy of, you know, buying an item of clothing and buying something off the rack that may fit many people, or having your clothes tailored so that you have a bespoke item of clothing that's really designed for you. And that's really what we want to have for children's healthcare. We want to have personalized care that's made to measure. And this concept fairly well established in genetics and rare genetic disorders, which is an area of expertise at CHEO, where you identify specific genetic abnormality that's the cause of a given patient's diagnosis, and then try to find a treatment that may be specific, whether it's a enzyme replacement or gene therapy or something else that specifically can correct that abnormality. Similarly, in cancer, we know a lot about the genetics of cancer and trying to match a specific targeted therapy with a particular mutation in a cancer. But this is much more broad in terms of this concept of precision health. And we like to think of it from genetic code to postal code. How do you identify what are the best needs for a specific patient? And so we have a program at CHEO that serves the mental health population called One Call, One Click, that allows individuals, either on the phone or through their computer, who have a mental health concern, to be able to identify the specific service they need. You know, do they need, is it an emergency service? Can it wait till tomorrow? Is it a social worker? Is it a psychologist? What's the right sort of provider and service that will meet that individual's needs? And we've grown, built on that program into currently a precision child mental health program that's looking at how do we adapt our mental health system to specifically meet the needs of individual patients and families. And so it's really this broad idea of made-to-measure personalized healthcare for each and every patient and their family.
So Jason, I can really tell from your work the passion that you have for research. And I'd love for you to share with our listeners, how does research give us hope for the future?
Well, you know, research by definition is hope. And, you know, in one of my other roles, I'm a pediatric cancer specialist. I'm a pediatric oncologist. And so I meet with patients and families and often have to talk with them about really difficult diagnoses, and sometimes have to share difficult news with those families. And when we are able to present that there is a clinical trial, that there's a new drug, that there's a new test, that there's a new opportunity, that brings families hope. And time again, I've had those families come to me and say, you know, that opportunity, that program, that ability to participate in research, you know, really gave us hope. We know in some cases it may not make a difference to our child, or maybe didn't make a difference to that child, but recognize that that may contribute to make a difference to a child in the future. And I really think about that as a clinician researcher. When I'm providing clinical care, I'm thinking about that child and family in front of me, and how do I make an impact in terms of improving their health today and in the future? But when I'm engaged in research, I know that can have a broader impact, maybe on that child in front of me, but hopefully on many children, not just in my local environment, but beyond that by being able to advance the field and push the needle down further.
Jason, thank you so much for sharing your incredible insights with us today. I've learned so much listening to you, and I feel very inspired. Before we say goodbye, I have a few final rapid-fire questions. No right or wrong answers here. Please just tell us the first thing that comes to mind. Are you ready?
Sure.
Who has had the biggest influence on your career and why?
Yeah, so, you know, I've had a lot of mentors, research mentors, clinical mentors, and, you know, we talk a lot about in the research world around having different mentors to support your career, but I would have to say it was probably my father, who's been gone a long time, but was a clinician and researcher himself, not a pediatrician. He was a cardiologist, but he was someone that always was curious, always asked questions, and so really married research and clinical work, but always was incredibly kind. And so set an example of teamwork and working together and treating everyone as equals to be able to solve problems.
What is one thing you feel deeply grateful for right now?
So, you know, I feel deeply grateful. I would say it's two things. One is my family, because I think, you know, we all need family to ground us. And I think many of us have spent a lot of time with our family, maybe more than we expected during the pandemic when we were locked down. And so the support of your family, I think, is really important. But also my team here at CHEO, in the research institute, in the hospital, my executive team colleagues, the members of my lab, the clinicians I get to work with, we're really a sense of community here. And we really all feel like we are rowing in the same direction. And so I think that's really powerful to be part of that team and being able to advance children's healthcare.
What is the number one thing we need to consider right now to move children's healthcare forward in a positive direction?
So, you know, we are in the unprecedented time where we've, you know, identified that we need a right sizing of children's healthcare, that children's healthcare really has been undervalued and has not received the attention it needs. So the pandemic and the recent surge that we've had at many hospitals, including ours, has really shone a light on that. And also now, timely this week, the discussion happening between the federal government and the premiers around the transfer of additional funds. And so, you know, a problem's been identified, a solution looks like it's forthcoming with money, but money doesn't solve things if we don't use it in a smart way. We need to really think about it's not just throwing money at the problem and seeing what sticks. It's really working with teams, thinking of how research and innovation can inform better delivery of care. We can't, you know, flip a switch and have all the problems in children's healthcare go away. We have to identify what they are and then come up working together as teams to try to find solutions and having the opportunity and this unique opportunity of increased transfer payments from the federal government to the provinces to help support that. Because I think there's going to be competition for those dollars. We want to be able to show that we've come up with really creative solutions to use those dollars in the most effective way.
Thank you, Jason. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you today. Like I said, I've learned a ton, and I'm sure our listeners will be very inspired.
Thanks very much, Catherine. Thanks for having me.
Stay safe and be well. To stay up to date on all our Spark offerings, including upcoming podcast episodes, visit our website at childrenshealthcarecanada.ca and subscribe to our Spark news biweekly e-bulletin if you haven't already. Thanks for listening to Spark Conversations. And before we go, show some love for your new podcast series by leaving us a review and then join us again next month. Thank you.